Layoffs are down, hiring is up, but what about Europe?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open. A look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, what big cuts at the Postal Service would mean for rural America. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up this morning. The Dow up 151 points, about 1.3% at 11,809. The NASDAQ up just a bit more than 1%, and the S&P 500 up just a bit less than 1.5%. The job placement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas said this morning that the number of planned layoffs at U.S. companies hit a four-month low last month. And payroll processor ADP said private companies hired more than 100,000 people in October. And that's where we'll start with Josh Brown of Fusion Analytics, who is with us live every Wednesday from New York. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So what do these numbers I just mentioned tell you about hiring in this country as we wait for the big October jobs report Friday from the government?
You know, there's a little bit of correlation between ADP's private payroll numbers and the actual government figure, which will be released on Friday, but it's not that tight of a correlation. So I guess what the street is saying today is we'll take the good news where we can get it, and clearly this is good, not great news. So.
And good, not great news. But it's interesting to hear that because we've obviously got these ups and downs going on in Europe. How much are we being affected in our labor market here in the U.S. by what's happening in Europe?
Yeah, at this stage in the game, I don't think we're being affected at all. I think if you look at what the numbers are saying, the positive development is that private companies are picking up the slack where the government is not hiring anymore or even laying off. And what I found the most interesting, medium-sized businesses added 53,000 workers and small businesses hired 58,000 workers in October. And that's a pretty positive sign. That's where the job growth has to come from.
Josh Brown of Fusion Analytics, thanks so much as always.
Thanks again.
Well, now to the defunct solar panel maker Solyndra, the one that got a $500 million federal loan guarantee and then went bankrupt. In the San Francisco Bay Area today, auctioneers are selling off many of the company's assets. Our senior business correspondent Bob Moon reports now on the effect a high-profile failure like this has on other alternative energy companies.
It's a tricky moment for an industry that had just been showing signs of life.
I worry that the federal government could very well pull back in terms of funding, political support.
Dan Riker is an energy policy expert at Stanford University. He says belt tightening and partisan fighting were already threatening federal research and development help even before the industry's recent failures. But this might end up attracting private investors, so says Thomas Maslin, an emerging energy analyst at IHS.
Some of them may see the current struggles of the market as an opportunity to gobble up some relatively cheap assets.
Maslin says smaller startups still depend on federal help, though, and President Obama has warned the U.S. risks falling behind.
Other countries are putting enormous subsidies into these companies.
Stanford's Dan Riker says America can't afford to surrender its current lead in R&D funding.
We could very well lose the race to tap into that market and all the jobs that come with it if we don't do for these emerging technologies what for decades we've done for the more traditional technologies.
Riker points out fossil fuels continue to receive billions more in subsidies. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by PBS, presenting The Fabric of the Cosmos, a new NOVA series with physicist and author Brian Greene, starts tonight at 9, 8 Central on PBS. By Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. And by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com.
In Washington today, a bipartisan group of senators is expected to unveil legislation to save the U.S. Postal Service. The agency is considering some drastic measures to make ends meet, including the closure of 3,700 post offices across the country. As David Nogueras of Oregon Public Broadcasting reports, that would have a big effect on rural towns.
Homesteaders settled the small landmark town of Fort Rock in central Oregon's high desert in 1905. Jack Swisher, president of the Fort Rock Valley Historical Society, says the town post office opened in 1908.
That put us on the map. So from March 9th, 1908, to the present time, we've had a post office here.
But many are now worried Fort Rock's only post office might soon be relegated to the history books.
I need stamps, please.
Stamps, okay.
Sherry Blackman says with only a general store, a family restaurant, and a tavern in Fort Rock, closing the post office would be a big deal.
I think it'll have a heck of an impact on our area because, as you can tell, we only have three things in town.
Blackman says she's worried about how she'll get her mail each day. Door-to-door delivery isn't available for everybody out here, and the nearest post office to Fort Rock is more than 30 miles away. Out in the parking lot, Paul Bowers recoils at the mention of a possible closure.
And this is not only a post office. This is where all the farmers' wives come and have a meeting house every day whenever the mail comes in. I mean, this might be the heart and soul of the whole community.
The post office is quick to point out that just making the list doesn't guarantee closure. The Postal Service will look at each office individually to determine if it can provide adequate service without an actual facility. Jack Swisher of the Historical Society says this is about more than just delivering mail and magazines. He says some business owners here are already looking to sell. Should the post office close, he says, it would rip a hole in the town's social fabric.
I think we're going to lose the town. If we lose the post office, we've lost something big.
The post office says closures could come as early as this December. In Bend, Oregon, I'm David Nogueras for Marketplace.
Well, the Postal Service in the UK has decided not to deliver to a rural area because the roads to get there are in bad shape. But as the Telegraph reports today, that's not the half of it when it comes to the difficulty of delivering mail. Last November, a postal worker wouldn't go to one address because the garden was overgrown. And at another address, the Royal Mail threatened to cancel service if the owner didn't take steps to control his aggressive cat. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal with Marketplace.
And I'm Justin Rowlatt with the BBC World Service's Business Daily. Tune in for a joint venture of sorts.
A look at why everything is global, from what's happening in the Eurozone
to what's happening next door.
When people place orders a month in advance, I have to say, okay, it might be this price, but it could be this price if the euro goes back up.
All that and more from Marketplace
and the BBC
on APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.